Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, December 15th, 2010. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, newly elected State Senator Dan Schmidt talks about priorities for providing public health care. Judge grants temporary injunction over cabin rents. Moscow City staff wants to join Wastewater Emergency Response Network. And Governor Greg Guar outlines Washington budget plans for the next year's legislative session. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Fourth District Judge Deborah Bale granted a temporary injunction today forbidding the land board from setting rates on state-owned cabins that Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin says are too low. Wasdin was on the losing end of a 3-2 land board vote earlier this year, setting cabin rents on Payette and Priest Lakes, and he appealed the decision to the state Supreme Court, saying the state constitution requires a maximum long-term financial gain from state endowment land to benefit Idaho schools. The Supreme Court did not disagree, but ruled the issue should go before a lower court. Wasdin said after today's decision by Judge Bale, I certainly look forward to working with my colleagues on the land board to try to resolve this issue. The land board, which meets again next Tuesday, consists of the governor, secretary of state, attorney general, secretary of public instruction, and controller. The cabin leases expire at the end of the year. No one was injured when a tornado hit the small town of Almsville, Oregon yesterday at about noon. The tornado in the town 50 miles south of Portland tore roofs off houses and prompted the city to condemn 10 homes. Yesterday's tornado was the first to hit Oregon since December of last year. Newly elected District 6 Idaho State Senator Dan Schmidt says he doesn't expect the state of Idaho to opt out of the expanded Medicaid plans under this year's federal health care bill, should it go into effect in 2012. Schmidt says, despite the fact Idaho politicians were eager to join other states in suing the federal government over the Obama health care bill this year, he believes it would be politically difficult for even such a conservative state, such as Idaho, to opt out of the new Medicaid programs that would come with the law. The Democrat Schmidt, who is also a doctor, got a seat on the standing Senate Health and Welfare Committee when committee assignments were doled out earlier this month. He will also serve on the Millennium Fund Committee, which decides what to do with tobacco lawsuit settlement money, and the Catastrophic Committee, which allocates supplemental medical indigency money for counties that cannot afford catastrophic care for all of those who cannot afford to pay for them. During today's Moscow League of Women Voters Wednesday noontime speaker series, Schmidt was asked if the state will do anything about preventive health care coverage once it is required in 2012. Schmidt responded that one-third of all Medicaid goes towards long-term care and one-fifth goes towards disability coverage.
So we think of Medicaid as, you know, people going to the emergency room or stuff like that, but a third of Medicaid dollars goes to, about a fifth of Medicaid dollars goes to disability coverage, covering people who are, so the vast majority of ambulatory people who are cared for with Medicaid are women, pregnant women and their children. Long-term care is expensive for the state, and by providing care in an outpatient setting, can you save money? I think you can, and I think that's a very reasonable consideration. It's hard to get at and to prove that saving money issue. And also, there's always the question when you talk about saving money, are we also going to look at quality of care? And so you have to balance those things out, and to me, that's a very reasonable expectation. Will that be done in this coming session? I don't know.
That was State Senator Dan Schmidt of Moscow. Schmidt also related the story of Oregon's efforts to prioritize types of health care in an effort to determine which ones the state will pay for.
And so they went through a very interesting and very protracted statewide process to rank health care services and decide, this is really important. What would you put at the top of the list? Best bang for your buck. Immunizations. Second, prevention. Screening tests, certain screening tests were top of the list. Well child exams, top of the list. Preventive care for adults, top of the list. Then they went down. And so 3,000 things on the list. What are we going to pay for? Well, let's stop at 1,573. That's all we're going to pay for. Okay? That's how Oregon currently goes through the process of deciding how they're going to spend their state health care dollars. Well, the implementation of this was fascinating. So he did this and then got elected governor, got done, got approved by the state legislature, and Reagan was the president then. Yeah, this is 20 years ago, and wouldn't let him do it because they had to get a waiver from Medicaid as to how to spend Medicaid dollars. So then was it Clinton after? Yeah, then it was Ford and then Clinton. It was Bush and then Clinton. And when Clinton came in, he said, sure, you can do it. So that's when the Oregon healthcare system got implemented, was in the first Clinton administration.
Another question is, has any other state even looked into it?
No.
And what's your evaluation?
Well, if you look at, the truth is, I have not studied the outcome closely. If you look at how Oregon spends Medicaid dollars per person compared to Idaho, they spend a lot more than we do. However, they cover a lot more people than we do. So it's the, so we were in Hawaii and Governor Kitzhaber had just been elected, this is a long time ago, and he gave a talk on the Oregon healthcare system, and I go up to him afterwards and I say, so what if the state decided to go, if you think about it, general fund money is what you're talking about here in terms of how far down the list you go. We have the system, but if you lower the number, you're going to spend more. If you raise the number, you're going to spend less, but you're going to cover less. So this is the rationing, and this is how they chose to do the rationing. If you think about how we do the rationing, this one seems logical. It seems like you could understand it. But what are the consequences is what you're asking. And so I asked Governor Kitzhaber, I said, so what happened when you first did this? He goes, well, the commission recommended they cover 1,573 services. The legislature balked and dropped it down to 1,900. I said, so they chose to spend more. He goes, yep. So where'd that come from? He shrugged and went, the general fund. So it was a political choice. Gonna cover more. I don't know if there's another good story about this, because if you remember, some of you might remember this, back when Oregon was doing this, going through this process, a kid got leukemia. And it was on all the news all over, and this kid, this cute 7-year-old kid, is going to die because his services won't be covered under the Oregon health care plan. And, of course, it wasn't quite that simple, and it wasn't true because it hadn't been implemented yet, but that's what the national news. And then we get back to the rationing question. And are we going to let this kid die because we're not going to pay for it? And that's part of what instituted the lowering this, increasing the amount of services that would be covered, because nobody wants to campaign for office saying they just let a little kid die. So
And that was newly elected State Senator Dan Schmidt of Moscow speaking at the Moscow League of Women Voters Wednesday noontime speaker series today. Over the last 2 days, Washington Governor Chris Gregoire released components of her proposed 2011 to 2013 biennial budget. Gregoire said due to constitutional, legal, and contractual agreements and federal requirements, 60% of the state's $35 billion budget is off limits to cuts. The remaining $14 billion from education, corrections, and non-mandatory health care and social services face the majority of cuts to balance the budget. Gregoire plans to consolidate state departments, reducing the number of state agencies from 21 to 9. The plan creates a new Department of Conservation and Recreation by merging the Department of Fish and Wildlife, the State Parks and Recreation Commission, the Recreation and Conservation Office, and the Law Enforcement Unit of the Department of Natural Resources. Gregoire wants to create an Office of Civil Rights, merging the Human Rights Commission, the Office of Minority and Women's Business Enterprise, the Commission on African Affairs, the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, and the Commission on Asian Pacific American Affairs. According to the Associated Press, the consolidation of departments will cut 125 state jobs. Gregoire also wants to eliminate 36 state boards and commissions, saving an estimated $7.4 million. Over the past years, more than 140 state boards and commissions were consolidated or eliminated. Washington State University is expecting a $7.48 million reduction in state allocated funds. That would replace the $11.2 million temporary cut ordered by the governor in September. The university plans to eliminate 32 filled positions and a number of unfilled positions. The legislature will review Gregoire's budget proposal during the next legislative session, starting the second Monday of January. The 2011 session is 105 days long, and the state budget is typically one of the last items the legislature votes on. Gregoire is urging the legislature to take early action on the supplemental budget to achieve budget savings. At last night's Moscow School Board meeting, District Superintendent Dale Kleinert recommended grade reconfiguration starting with the 2012 to 2013 school year. The Moscow Pullman Daily News reports Kleinert made his recommendations moving sixth graders into the Moscow Junior High School and moving ninth graders to the high school and Paradise Creek Regional High School. After research weighing the pros and cons of the issue, Kleinert and his staff identified overcrowding at Moscow's six elementary schools as one of the major issues. Staff reported students are placed in hallways and doorways at the schools. Staff also found conflicting credit requirements at the middle and high school levels as one of the reasons to make the changes. Kleinert proposed moving the district's supplemental maintenance and operations levy increase election from March 2012 to November of next year. The last voter levy approved in February 2007 has provided the district $7.6 million per year. Kleinert proposed levy election date change. Kleinert proposed the levy election date change because Federal American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funding will no longer be available at the end of the school year. The federal jobs bill will fill in some of the funding lost with the end of the stimulus, but that ends in 2013. The school district needs to calculate the amount of the levy increase after the Idaho State Legislature session ends in the spring. University of Idaho President Dwayne Nellis told the Lewiston Tribune, funding for higher education is again at risk in Idaho as lawmakers face a potential $340 million budget shortfall in 2011. Nellis says a 13% cut to higher education is a possible outcome after the Idaho legislature attempts to balance the budget next year. Nellis told the Tribune, people want to earn more money. They know they can do that with a four-year degree or technical degree, so why aren't they pushing the legislature to invest more? The University of Idaho is working to expand the number of foreign and out-of-state students to provide additional tuition income and increase diversity on the Moscow campus. The UI is also looking into expanding online learning opportunities and summer programs as part of efforts to address potential budget cuts. Tom Luther of the Moscow Water Department told the Moscow City Council's Public Works Committee Monday about plans to join the Idaho Wastewater Agency Response Network, also known as IDWARN. The network includes mutual aid agreements between various municipalities and water districts around the state. It currently includes United Water, a private utility in the Boise area, and the cities of Coeur d'Alene and Troy, among others. City Council member Dan Karskalin asked Luther what sort of situations would make use of the mutual aid agreement. Here's Luther's response.
Oh, if we had extensive flooding that maybe damaged our wastewater treatment plant, we could call in so get some expertise. You know, if our operators are overworked, you know, we're running, trying to get the plant up, back up and running, we could call in some other operators from other facilities and help us with the manpower. Possibly have expertise, you know, on the electrical side to restore the power and the control system to get it running. And that's part of the stuff we could look at. And the big thing is we go to the other utilities, they already have the expertise in similar systems, you know, rather than going out to the private sector, we're going to be looking at a lot of money, probably to get contractors in to do it, and there might be a big time frame too before we could get them scheduled to come in. So this is something that can work really fairly fast. You know, within a couple of days we can have crews on site, one way or the other, whether we're sending or receiving.
That was Tom Luther of the Moscow Water Department speaking at Monday's Public Works Committee meeting. Luther said the Water Department had wanted to put an action item on Monday's committee agenda, but he had run the agreement by City Attorney Randy Fife, and Fife said he'd like to make some changes. The proposed changes is now being reviewed by the State Attorney General's office. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Take you a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. 30% chance of scattered snow showers before 10 p.m. tonight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low 27. Total nighttime snow accumulation, less than half an inch possible. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high 35. Mostly cloudy Thursday night, low 22. Mostly sunny on Friday, high near 30. 30% chance of snow very late Friday night after 4 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy, low 22, little or no snow accumulation expected. On Saturday, 70% chance of snow, mainly after 10 a.m., cloudy, high 30. New accumulation around an inch possible, 50% chance of snow Saturday night, and again on Sunday, low 27 and high of 31. Less than half an inch possible Saturday night. Currently mostly cloudy, 33 degrees in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next is Building Bridges, the weekly labor report from Pacifica Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine, also from Pacifica Radio. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night, and remember to support KRFP when requested. Or even if you don't get a letter requesting donations, keep us going, because it's possible that the KRFP Evening Report and much of our local news reporting may end if we don't get enough support to maintain the station as the time of the only employee of Radio Free Moscow might have to move towards raising funds. So be sure to support Radio Free Moscow. Go to the website or send a check to 114 East 3rd Street, KRFP, Radio Free Moscow. Have a good night.